SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Best of Everyday Now officially is underway. It is a Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, Donnie Wrightside. Solo mission as usual here with a lot of hot topics to go over, but maybe none hotter than college basketball. And that slate does start at noon today from Johnson City, Tennessee, Freedom Hall Civic Center, Gardner Webb, and High Point. So what we're going to do today is I have a couple games picked out for tonight's action, which we're going to handicap those. Also, I want to get you guys scheduled for some of the games today with teams that you might not have even heard of before. Gardner Webb, High Point, Southern Illinois Drake, Stony Brook, Delaware. Teams not really on your radar. Now, am I saying I have ins and outs in each one of those ball games? No, I don't. But sometimes it's just fun to handicap them live on the air just to see if we can find some points of emphasis that make some sense on both sides. Two games that I do like today that are a little bit later, Dayton VCU and Northern Illinois and Central Michigan. So just keep an eye on those two basketball games, which we will get to and have some fun with. And then also take a look at some of those basketball games tomorrow, because the lines will start to come out now for those games, but also understanding the principle of there's really good action tomorrow. Last weekend of college basketball high majors before we get to the conference tournaments next week, which most of them will get started on a Tuesday afternoon action. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of high major college basketball action, which leads us right into next weekend's Selection Sunday. It is a great time, no doubt about it, to be alive. So I do have my odds board up here. Also have KenPom, trusty. Just remove this thing from my microphone. Now I sound better at this point. But also understanding some of the statistics here and getting a first look, because there's a lot of basketball games today. I didn't handicap every game. Picked out a couple, as I said, Northern Illinois, Central Michigan, Dayton, and VCU. But I do want to get to those early games, but clear some of these hot topics out. Guys, NHL fans out here, had Chris Meany on the broadcast this morning with both myself and Ben Stevens on the early line, breaking down the trade deadline and where that goes. Ovechkin scoring goals left and right, looking to break the all-time scoring record, or goal scoring record, I should say, from Wayne Gretzky. That's up in the air. The NBA, which is so interesting at this point right now, and that doesn't mean it's profitable, where you are just playing a guessing game on some of these organizations. Dallas is going to take on Memphis tonight. Memphis has been stinking up the joint since the All-Star break. Dallas is in a complete free fall. Where do we go from there? Who knows? You take a look at some other games out there. We broke this one down. The Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets. That line is 7.5 across the board. Are the Phoenix Suns buying in because Dallas looks like they're in a tailspin and they might be able to make a run to get into the play-in rounds? Or is it fool's gold tonight for the Denver Nuggets and they absolutely smash the Phoenix Suns? How about the New York Knicks taking on the Clippers tonight? That line, average across the board, 7.5 to 8. The Knicks lost yesterday in overtime to the Los Angeles Lakers in Los Angeles. Now have to switch buildings, probably staying at the same hotel, but Brunson got injured yesterday in overtime. He's probably not going to be available, and we'll see who's available for both the Knicks and the Clippers tonight. There's a lot of landmines down here. 17-point spread this morning for the Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the Charlotte Hornets. Looks like we're now down to 16s and 15.5s. Good luck on that one. The Cavs blow everybody out, but they're on the road. They're on the road. And in football, as we would say, laying 3 scores. That's incredible. So it might be easier just to take the simple approach and say, maybe you take a little bit of a break for the NBA for a while and figure out some of these things in college basketball. We see the news and notes coming down left and right this morning, because in the NFL, time never stands still. And that's no more important than the Cleveland Browns. Would you have guessed it? Myles Garrett says, I don't like this organization anymore. I don't think I want to be here right now, and I want to request a trade. I want to talk directly to Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns. For only Jimmy Haslam to say, yeah, that sounds good. I'm not meeting with you.
So now it's reported that Myles Garrett is willing to sit out games this season to get his point across that he wants out of town. And I believe him. He's got a ton of money. That organization stinks. Both sides can win. Look, sometimes there's always a clear winner. If you are telling me right now, let's just say it's not two number one picks here. Let's just say it's a team that drafts in the second half of the first round. Let's just say pick 20. You give up a one, you give up a two, and maybe let's just say a four. That's probably enough to get the deal done for Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns. But why would you stop there if you're the Browns? You're restructuring contracts. You're trying to get things on the table. Just meet with the guy. Maybe you can change his mind. Maybe you, Jimmy Haslam, can sell him on a broader picture of the Browns saying, look, stick it out with us for the next year. I'll pay you more money. I promise you'll like the results that you see if maybe we're looking for a quarterback in the draft and the future is here. But if he, talking about Myles Garrett, doesn't want to be in Cleveland, why would you want him there? It's the same concept I bring up with the Vegas Raiders. Now, the Vegas Raiders love Max Crosby, and they signed him to close to $100 million in guaranteed money on his contract. I don't think it's going to equate to a lot of victories for them next year, but that's what they wanted to do. So I look the same way at the Cleveland Browns and Myles Garrett right now, and I say to myself, what are we doing, Browns? If keeping Myles Garrett over the next two seasons is going to bring us a deep run in the playoffs, then you do it. Does anybody believe that? Nobody believes that. So now is the perfect time, the height of the market for Myles Garrett, where he's healthy, he's ready to go, and he's dominant. Trade him for a lion's share of draft capital and picks that you can apply to this year's draft and next year's draft and get what you need. Because whether or not Myles Garrett is there right now, this season, next season, you ain't winning jack, Cleveland Browns. Let him move on and push that forward. I'm interested to see if there are any other shoes to fall this weekend. Understand that in the NFL is that we have free agency tampering period starting on Monday. Most of the teams that you find right now that are in a good headspace are making all the necessary adjustments to their roster before they get to free agency so they understand exactly where they stand in the free agent market and how much money they have to spend. Teams like the Cincinnati Bengals don't appear to be doing that. They're saying, okay, Trey Hendrickson, go out and find a trade. Let's just say no trade is available that the terms and conditions that either A, the player wants, or B, the team wants. So therefore, you have a player that wants a new contract. You don't even know what that new contract might actually be, so you have to hold money back. T. Higgins, wide receiver, doesn't look like they're letting him free in free agency to gauge his interest. So now you're saying you're not going to trade T. Higgins, but also you don't know how much that final contract is going to be. So then that goes on for weeks at a time. All the players are signed up here. By the time you either A, come to an agreement with T. Higgins, or B, say, you know what, you're just going to play under the franchise tag and you're probably going to hold out at this point. See where that doesn't make sense? Those are unhealthy franchises. So this weekend, talking about today, Friday, then Saturday and Sunday, you are going to see a lot of extensions come through on teams that are currently dealing with players who want new contracts. Free agency comes up, teams that have current free agents that they have to get signed. But understanding this, a lot of money is going to start to be paid on Monday, contracts that we haven't seen in the history of the NFL. And like, that player got that much money? How could he get that much? Because why? NFL free agency with a salary cap on the rise is a player's dream. As I told you, you just saw Max Crosby sign for close to $100 million in guaranteed money. You know who's next up on the block as a devastating pass rusher to get his money this year? It's Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys. And that's why the Cincinnati Bengals said, you know what, Trey, you're a really good football player. Look at the amount of money people are out here spending is absolutely incredible. We're not going to be able to afford you. We'll see how quickly Trey Hendrickson is on the move as well. But college basketball is the flavor of the day. Let's start analyzing and handicapping next right here on Moneyline. It's a Friday right on the Sports Grid Network. There's no better place to be. And we'll be right back after this short commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get to it, people. It's a Friday. It's a handicapping Friday. You know where I stand. I love myself some college basketball. I love to dip my toes in the water and have some fun. We'll get to some of the early games in just a few moments. But let me take a look at two games that I picked out that should have some fun. And as we get the party started right now, we're almost time to dance, people. You got to get the flavor up. You got to get the feeling right in the room. You got to sit back and relax, because in less than 2 weeks, we are dancing in March Madness. Which brings my attention to the MAC Conference, which hasn't started their conference tournament just yet. Northern Illinois, Central Michigan tonight, McGurk Arena, Mount Pleasant, Michigan, which means Central Michigan is home. The one thing we know about this league, there's 12 teams. The worst offense in the league, efficiency-wise, is going to play tonight in Northern Illinois. So right off the bat, you might think, okay, Donnie's angle is probably going to be something with Central Michigan and locking up NIL's offense, which is Northern Illinois. Not the case. Hear me out on this one. Sometimes you have to buy into narratives and say, I think I can strike while the iron is hot here. NIU does play with a little bit of tempo. They're not very good on defense either, which is key. So you might be thinking that Donnie's going to be playing an angle on Central Michigan's offense versus Northern Illinois' defense. Normally, you would be correct and might be right, but that's not where I'm going here. Take a look at this. Once again, 12 teams in conference play. Northern Illinois dead last out of those 12 teams in efficiency on offense. Effective field goal percentage is 10th out of 12. That's really bad. The one thing that they don't do all that poorly, maybe the best thing that they do, is they hold on to the basketball. Third in conference play and turnover rate out of 12 teams. That's very good. They don't rebound the ball on offense all that well, and they don't get to the free throw line. So let's take a look at CMU's defense and where this matches up. They're sixth in conference play overall in efficiency on defense, once again, out of 12 teams. Effective field goal percentage for CMU is about 53%, which is eighth out of 12 in conference. So they don't have a great defense. They don't foul that much, but then again, NIL, Northern Illinois, once again, doesn't get to the free throw line all that much. Here's the key ingredient. Northern Illinois' offense is number one at shot percentage from three-point range. 49.7% of their total shots come from three-point range. So if we round it up, half of their shots come from three-point range. The key ingredient here on Central Michigan's defense, they're 11th out of 12th in conference play at chasing you off of the three-point line. So they give up around 43% of their total shots on defense from three-point range. If you take a look at point distribution, right? You say, all right, well, where are we going with this one? Number one in conference play is Northern Illinois. At 43% of their points come from three-point range. Number one at allowing you to score in MAC conference play from three-point range is Central Michigan's defense. So sometimes you just have to bite the bullet. Understand they're a terrible offense efficiency-wise. They love to shoot the three-point shot. They should get unlimited looks from three-point range tonight. So instead of taking a side or just the total in the game, I'm taking Northern Illinois team total over 64.5 points in that game. It's a 7 o'clock start tonight. You got plenty of time to get ready for that. That's number one. Where I went over and said, you know what? I think that makes some sense. Number two, let me just bring up this game here, and that is Dayton, the Flyers. They're going to be on the road tonight. And they're taking on Virginia Commonwealth, VCU. So you look at Dayton and how they played this year. They lost to VCU early in the year, 73-68 on their home court. And why is their home court important? You see the first four games that'll take place in a week and a half live from Dayton. Sometimes those rims, a little bit tough. But let's focus on this game and where this one makes some sense. So VCU comes into play in Atlantic 10 action. Number one overall in offensive efficiency in conference play, and also number one overall in defensive efficiency. And by the way, their efficiency rating on offense, 119.1. Absolutely spectacular. Effective field goal percentage, number two in conference play on offense. The best rebounding team on offense in conference play, it's VCU. So let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this here. VCU plays fast. Dayton doesn't play all that fast. So Dayton on offense, I do think, is going to struggle to score. But that's not my action. Because VCU does foul on defense, and Dayton loves to get to the free throw line. But let's remove Dayton's offense and VCU's defense, and let's just get the VCU itself on offense, because that's where the action's going to be. I just told you, best efficiency in conference, best effective field goal percentage in conference, best offensive rebounding team in conference. They don't get to the free throw line a ton. Why? Because they love the three-point shot. You take a look here. VCU, third in conference play at almost 46% of their total shots coming from three-point range. 13th in conference play at letting you shoot the three-point shot, it's Dayton's defense. So right there, once again, the focal point being on the three-point line. The tougher part of the two handicaps is Northern Illinois is not a good basketball team. We understand that, and they're on the road. So you don't get that home cooking environment. Dayton today is on the road, so VCU is the home team here. So for me, play number two, another team total. It's a little bit expensive. It's 75.5, VCU's team total to the over. If we can push tempo and get Dayton out of the offense they want to play, which means maybe a little bit more shooting shots here for VCU, I think it makes sense. And as I told you, if the three ball goes down, there's nothing you can do to stop it. And if VCU hopefully gets in a tight game with Dayton, who they're pressing it forward, free throw shooting percentage in conference play for VCU, 78% as a team, number two in the conference. So that defense, VCU, who's second in conference on defense at forcing turnovers, can do that. That leads to easy buckets on the opposite end. But if not, as I told you, a very good three-point shooting percent as a team and a high clip to do so with close to 46% of the total shots coming from three-point range. So there you go. Two games handicapped out the door. What we want to do now after the break is set the tone for the early games. There's a game that tips off between Gardner-Webb and High Point at noon today. Then we have a game at 1, a game at 2, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, 6:30, 6:30 before we even get to the night slate here, which we might take a look at. But let's do some afternoon handicapping. Look, these games aren't pretty, but they can still be handicapped. And that's what we do here at the Sports Grid Network. Let's see what we find. Gardner-Webb and High Point up next, right after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday's payday, people. That's what we like to say around these parts. Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM, channel 159. Yeah, let's get it. Let's get the money out here, people. You know it's out here. Gardner-Webb, High Point, first thing on your docket today, coming up at lunchtime. That's what I like to do. It's lunchtime handicaps here. Get used to it, because over the next 2 to 3 weeks, all day action in college basketball. Let's get started. Understand this. High Point in conference play absolutely torched Gardner-Webb twice. Absolutely hammered him. Looking at the line today, and again, it's a neutral court site. Nobody has home court advantage. Line opened up total-wise 155.5. It's down to 153.5. Side factor here, High Point opened up as a 12.5-point favorite. Now we're seeing it go as high as 15.5. FanDuel still hanging in with a 14.5. High Point, number one in conference play in efficiency on both offense and defense by a wide margin. Effective field goal percentage, number one on offense and number one on defense. You take a look at the defensive side of the basketball here for High Point against Gardner-Webb's offense. Gardner-Webb, they'll take a decent amount of threes. Don't make too many of them. High Point defends extremely well. Number one, however, in conference play is Gardner-Webb inside the arc at close to 55% of their total points coming inside of three-point range. Number fourth in conference at letting you score is High Point. So maybe a little bit of an advantage there. But it really doesn't play out. Because why? High Point's offense is so efficient and so talented. Gardner-Webb's defense is really bad. Eighth in conference play at defense, but also understand this, eighth in conference play at turning you over when Gardner-Webb doesn't turn it over. The one thing that Gardner-Webb does decent on defense is rebound. However, High Point's offense, the best offensive rebounding team in conference play. So whenever you have the best offense and defense, but also the best rebounding defense and the best rebounding offense, that's always going to be an issue. Take a look at the three-point shooting here. 37.4% as a team, good for third in conference play for High Point's offense. Decent defense for Gardner-Webb on defense from three-point range. This one looks to be the part of a blowout. Now, is there an angle for me that absolutely lines up and says this really makes a lot of sense? The only one you could probably theoretically see is maybe a team total to the under for Gardner-Webb. Now, let me just open up my book on this, and we'll see. Because, again, 153.5 sitting here at the FanDuel Sportsbook as the total in this game. team total for Gardner-Webb is 68.5. Team total for High Point, 84.5. So we're looking at a blowout in this point right now. If I had to lean in any direction, it probably would be for Gardner-Webb's team total to the under. But again, it's really hard to sort of play it out where Gardner-Webb loses today, like the season is over. Do they extend that game far more than what it should be with, let's say, 3 or 4 minutes to go? As opposed to if it was a regular season game, it's a 13 or 14 point game. Maybe just hanging back on defense, letting the clock run, letting some young kids get in the game. I don't know if that's going to happen. But High Point should be able to run them over. Now, the one thing I do like, as I talk about multiple times, once you get to actual conference play and conference tournament action, it's the fact that the cleaner half that you're going to get is actually the first half. And you say, well, Donnie, what do you mean by that? Well, nobody's running out the string, right, in the second half. We're not getting any craziness over the final 3 minutes of fouling and extended fouling and getting a little bit lucky there. The one thing you do know is if High Point really has it going on, if they can score 45 or 50 points in the first half, they're not going to stop even if Gardner-Webb has 7 points on the board. You get my drift at that? In the second half, when you're up 15 points, looking to cover a 15-point spread, you're in conference tournament play. Style points don't matter. Just winning the game is and staying healthy. So do your starters come out of the game with 2 minutes to go up 15 points because we don't have to really relax anymore? Well, that doesn't happen in the first half. Starters don't come out of the game up 15 points with 3 minutes to go in the first half. They look to extend that lead at the break. So maybe a smarter play, if you're looking to take High Point, is simplicity. They'll be up over 8.5 points at halftime, which means, let's just say, double digits. Now, you would think that that is a very good start toward your total of 15, being up, let's just say, 40 to 30 at the break. You get the cover there. But there's no guarantee in the second half that you're going to cover the full 15 points for the game. Now, can they? Yes. Can they win by 20, 30, or 40? Sure they can. But I always like to say, like, one of those handicapping strategies and can work even in college football, professional football, whoever. The cleanest half you're going to get is always the first half. Now, there are extenuating circumstances in college basketball, like, hey, if my superstar player gets 2 fouls in the first 4 minutes, I lose him for the rest of the first half, as opposed to getting the 2 fouls. He's going to play a complete part of the second half because you get 5 for the game. But if you're looking from a High Point perspective, maybe a first half at a -8.5 makes a little bit more sense than taking an under on a team total in a game that might be extended in the second half. So we're off and running handicapping. Go to High Point at noon, people. Get involved. Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it, people, here on a Friday, handicapping some afternoon basketball game action. Just got done with High Point. I'm just going to write these down. Just going to track these through. So we've got High Point -8.5 first half, and then game number one. 1 o'clock start today. The Southern Illinois Salukis taking on Drake today in the MVC tournament. So again, tournament action starting and dominating early in the day. If we look at the Salukis, they are getting, well, let's go to first, let's get out of the first half here. Southern Illinois Drake. Drake, neutral court today, opened up at 8.5, now sitting as a 10.5 and 11.5 point favorite, depending on where you're shopping at. Low total in this one. Drake is extremely slow, by the way, guys. 129.5 down to 127.5 to 126.5, depending on where you're actually getting those numbers from. If we line this game up, I told you Drake is really slow, but they are ultra efficient. Once again, Drake in conference play, number one on offense in efficiency, number one on defense in efficiency. If we line up Drake's offense here, they usually turn the basket. They're not a great basketball team offensively turning it over, which is crazy why they're so efficient. But 12th at turning you over is Southern Illinois. So that sort of placates that. Like, you know, we're not really an up-tempo defense. If Drake can handle the basketball, they should win. Number one offensive rebounding team, number one defensive rebounding team. I'll tell you what a big difference is going to be in this game, too. Drake's defense is number one in conference play at turning over other opponents. Number 9 out of 12 teams at turning your own team over or turning your own basketball over, that's Southern Illinois. That is a main sticking point here. Understand this. Styles make fights again. Drake doesn't launch from three-point range. 11th out of 12 teams in conference play at overall volume, but they make their fair share at about 37% as a team. That's really good. Drake is also number one at getting to the free throw line and number one with offensive rebounding. That means second chance opportunities. And if you get fouled, you can convert here. Point distribution, which is extremely key. I just told you, they don't rely on the three-point shot, but they can make it, which is good because SIU doesn't defend all that well there. 12th in point distribution out of 12 teams from the three-point line, which means they're scoring buckets efficiently across the board. Point distribution inside the arc, 51% of the total points coming there. That's fourth in conference play. Point distribution from the free throw line, 21% of their offense comes from the charity stripe, which means they're a good basketball team. They win a lot of games. They're converting late in the game if it gets into closer situations. But if we do focus on Drake's defense here, I just told you, Drake can turn SIU over, and that's going to be big. Also, Drake, fantastic at defensive rebounding. That's big here. They do foul a little bit. Ninth in conference play out of 12, but also defend the three-point line. And SIU, they don't look for the three-point shot. So if you're looking at a total, right, neutral court environment, Drake is clearly the better team. That's a low number, 127.5. It is. But if we say SIU wants to play with more tempo, who's going to dictate the tempo in this game? It's not going to be Southern Illinois. It's going to be Drake. And if they're killing them on the glass, which they typically do, Drake, as being a great defensive rebounding team, that helps. But also, from both sides of the equation, where do you see typically, you know, the numbers go off the rails, splashing three-point shots left and right while you're wide open? These teams are decent three-point shooting teams, but I just told you. Style components, 12th. Out of 12 teams in conference plays at launching from the three-point line, that's SIU. 11th at launching three-point shots from the three-point line, that's Drake. Very close together on both sides here. So this might be one of those games where they're not shooting a lot of three-point shots. The tempo is a little bit slower. Maybe that under does make some sense. And also the buy down, which opened up at 129.5, now down to 127. Because you might be able to take a look at, let's just say, a Drake team total. But you're also talking about, once again, styles make fights at this point. And I just think it works to the advantage of Drake. Do I want to lay the price on Drake at 10.5, double digits in that low of a game at 127.5? Not necessarily. But if I'm looking at this game saying, all right, let me just go back and do a little bit of back checking on the games that they played together. So I'm just going to pull up Southern Illinois' game here, or games, I should say, going up against Drake. Let's see. It definitely was losses here, so we'll go to the red. 75-65, which would go over the total of what we have posted here. And I think that might be the only game that they played Drake this year, as it looks like. They only played Drake one time, and they played Drake at home. And Drake dropped 75 points in that game. So that's interesting to me. And also understand this. Southern Illinois has already played a game, which was yesterday, and put up 86 points in an 86-85 game against Indiana State. So normally I'd say to myself, I probably would want the under. That leads me to believe maybe a little bit higher scoring. Now understand this. When we're taking a look at Drake, they are a slow-moving team. So if we see, let's just say, the final five games of the season for Drake, it lost to Bradley 61-59. Which is 120 points. They played UIC, which is Illinois-Chicago, 74-57 that game was. That was 131 points. The Northern Iowa game, which went to overtime, guys, 64-58 in OT. That's 122. They played Evansville, 65-61. That's 126. They went to overtime against Missouri State, 68-60, 128 points. If you look at KenPom's metrics on this game, Southern Illinois, 71-61, which is 132 points, which would go over. So I'm trying to feed into this because I'll tell you what was interesting. The two games previous before that, which was Indiana State, that was an overtime game at 85-81, which is 166 points. The next game was Illinois State at 84-77. That was 161 points in that game. So if we're looking at the slowest team in the country is Drake at 364. So let me just go over quickly here to Southern Illinois. Southern Illinois' adjusted tempo is 136. So if we go into the archives again and just take a look at the teams that pushed some tempo in those games with Indiana State and Illinois State, let me just write those teams down because I have to tend to remember those. Indy State and Illinois State, because I just want to see on the conference level where those teams factor in. So if we go to tempo on offense, Indiana State is number one. So therefore, they were able to get them out of tempo. Illinois State, see where they were. Not a real quick tempo there. So if we have today, Southern Illinois, who is upper echelon here in the conference play, you know what? Let's buck the trend today. I know Drake is slow. I know they play great defense. I know it's on a neutral court. I think we go over 126 and a half. Let's go 1 p.m., 126.5 over, and that's between Drake and Southern Illinois. How about that? Look at that, getting through some games right now. So I'll write that one down because initially I was leaning towards the under, but seeing that if you can get a little bit of tempo there and maybe an extended ball game if we stay within double digits, so we don't have a spread of like 17 and a half, right? So 10 points, if we're a 10-point game with 3 or 4 minutes to go, we might get a lot of fouls. So I'll lean on the over at that point right now. That's where we'll take that one. All right, let's keep moving. Let's have some fun. A couple games under wraps here. Let's see. Next game on the docket would be 2 o'clock. That's Stony Brook and Delaware. Now, granted, we're not having the greatest, you know, athletic feats here with these teams. Delaware, however, is a 6.5-point favorite, but a total that opened at 149.5 down to 147.5. Just looking at these two teams, Delaware is atrocious on defense. Doesn't defend the three-point line, but lets you shoot the three-point shot. Stony Brook's offense, not good at all. Effective field goal percentage, bad. Efficiency, bad at this point. But they do shoot the three-point shot at a decent clip here. Delaware's offense likes the three-point shot, and Stony Brook lets you shoot the three-point shot. Ooh! We have a little bit of chippiness in this one here. How about that? Stony Brook, Delaware, after the break on a 2 o'clock start from Washington, D.C. Stick with us, baby. Right here, we're handicapping on a Friday, right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Stony in Delaware, people. Get excited. 2 p.m. on a Friday afternoon from Washington, D.C. at the Care First Arena. Again, just going over some numbers here. Just brought up the lines. 147.5 is that current line. Delaware is a favorite by 6.5 points in this one. Looking at Stony Brook's offense, it's really bad, but they can shoot the three-point shot. And Delaware doesn't defend it all that well. They're terrible inside the arc, which is fine. Shoot a decent free throw here. Talking about Stony Brook. So Delaware doesn't do anything great, and they foul, which is interesting. Delaware's offense is decent. Fifth out of 14 teams in conference play, so in the upper echelon, per se. Effective field goal percentage, however, is number two. Their offensive rebounding percentage isn't very good. They're dead last, actually, at getting second chance points, which you know what that usually means. They shoot a decent amount of three-point shots, and they do. They're seventh out of 14, so right midway in shooting three-point shot volume-wise. But they're top four in the conference, at 35% at making those three-point shots. That's an interesting one. And also, when they get to the free throw line, they make their free throws about 78% as a team. So Stony Brook and Delaware. Let me just do some digging here on this, these two teams. So Delaware, first game of the CAA, the Coastal Athletic Conference. This would be the Colonial, I believe. They are on a losing streak, which they've lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 11 out of their last 12 games, Delaware has lost. Most recently, 88-55, UNC Wilmington absolutely pummeled them. I mean, Wilmington's a good basketball team. Wilmington beat them by 10 points in early February and then by 30 in the final game. And by the way, that was a home game for Delaware. 94-84, 78-65, 78-74, 96-91, 75-70. They've been competitive outside of that UNC Wilmington game. Last time they took on Stony Brook, they beat them 84-74. Now let me see if they played Stony Brook twice, or sometimes we don't get those double shots back. So the only game I'm seeing here against Stony Brook was January the 16th. Yeah, so that was it. That's a pretty good look there. 84 to 74. And looking at the box score in that game, Stony Brook was 8 of 20 from three-point range, and Delaware was 8 of 24 from three-point range. So maybe that's something to go off of where that total is high. Now, granted, again, we are looking at a game that is going to be played at a neutral site, so neither team is technically the home team. Game that is played before. KenPom has it at 81 to what? 76. 81 plus 76. That's 157. Wow, see that? You see the discrepancy? Sometimes you don't get that big of a discrepancy on these two here. Because we got 147 and a half as a number. But I think he's right about this one. And again, understanding the fact that where if you are an under player, you're still actually balancing out like what happens at the end of these games. Because I do believe that you might extend it just for a little bit more, an extra possession or two, even if you're down double digits, to see if that could work in your favor. So if we look at that 147, it's a high number in conference play. I know it is. That means you're looking at close to 80 to 70, which can happen. I'm willing to go over in this game. Let's have some fun with that. So go 2 o'clock game. I'm writing down. That is Stony Brook versus Delaware. Over, and what's the best number that we have on the board here? 147 and a half. Now, that 147 and a half also is down from 149 and a half. So that should be interesting to see how that one plays out at this point. 2:30 start, Presbyterian. I believe that's the Blue Hose. Let me double check. Yeah, the Blue Hose. Not H-O-A apostrophe S, people. Get your mind out of the gutter. H-O-S-E. H-O-S-E-E. On a three-game win streak, they are taking on Radford. Last time they played Radford, beat them 80 to 73, so we got some points there. And the game previously before that, they lost to Radford, 82 to 69. This game being priced here at one. This is crazy. Like, I understand we're going to handicap this in a second, but I just told you the scores the last time these teams played. 153 points, and what's 82 plus 69? 151 points. How about the discount in this game? Line is 3.5 as a favorite toward Radford. Total's 130.5. Down from 133.5. See, I understand this, though, because the thought process of taking overs sometimes boggles your mind because it's neutral court, only the strong survive, win in advance, and honestly, that's really all you care about. But can you find active strategies on leaning on some totals to the over at this point? Because you do expect to be a lot on the line in a lot of pressure situations. Now, let's handicap these two teams as going off of it. Theoretically, again, KenPom's got this at 136 as a final score. And you're looking at 130 across the board. Times are different now. Not the regular season. Radford's defense, number 2 in conference play. Presbyterian's defense, number 3 in conference play and efficiency. So right there, you sort of say, that's kind of interesting. 9 teams in conference play. Both of these teams are extremely slow, but yet I just told you in the previous 2 games, they've done very well. 3-point shooting, okay, from Presbyterian. They defended decently in Radford, chasing off the line about midway through conference play, 4th overall out of 9 teams. You look at Radford's offense, which is good. Best 3-point shooting team in the conference at 39%. Presbyterian, decent on defense at defending it, number 3 in conference play, and chasing you off of the 3-point line at number 2 in conference play. See, this is a tougher one. Because I just told you, they had 2 games that clearly went over that total. But in this one, it looks like that 3-point drop, I should say, from the opening number might make a little bit of sense here. Because they are slow teams. Like Presbyterian nationally, adjusted tempo, 330th out of 364. Radford nationally, 355. Neither one of these teams wants to push. Last game they played, they beat Charleston Southern, 76 to 60. But understand this. Let me just see, who's the lowest? Are they both the lowest in this conference? Let's check in the Big South. Who are the slowest teams on offense? Presbyterian and Radford. That's hard, though. It's like, they just don't push the basketball. That's a tougher one to think about. Now, we got one more segment to go. A lot more college basketball slate today. Gave you two plays earlier on who I was looking at. Then we're handicapping the afternoon action. Let's flip it over to tomorrow. There are some banger games in college basketball that you want to get down on and have some fun with. They're out there in the marketplace. Sonny Wright's out on a Friday, out the afternoon, right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College basketball fun, people. So just to go over some action that we're having fun with. VCU team total over 75.5 later today versus Dayton. VCU's the home team. Northern Illinois, Central Michigan game. Ugly, man. Sometimes you got to close your eyes and just say, you know what? I hope it goes my direction. Northern Illinois team total over 64.5. So there's some action I played for a little bit later, but just having fun handicapping some of the afternoon college basketball games. We'll see how they go. High Point first half, -8.5. Up double digits here, the expectation for me. The 1 o'clock game, SIU Drake, 126.5. We'll go to the over there. Stony Brook, Delaware, over 147.5. Just some fun on that. But we do have just fantastic stuff, by the way, Saturday. There are so many games being played where conferences are wrapping up their regular season, but also a plethora of tournament games as well in those, you know, lower and mid-major conferences. Next week, the high majors get underway. But you got tomorrow, Kentucky, Missouri, 12 o'clock. Arizona, Kansas, 4:30, which I want to handicap the game. I didn't look at that one yet. St. John's, Marquette, where I do think Marquette knocks off St. John's. I think it's a good spot for them in Milwaukee, noon tip off there, Eastern. Houston, Baylor, good matchup. Ohio State, Indiana, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Alabama, Auburn, rematch to end the season. I do like Auburn in that game as well. Duke, North Carolina, always a lot on the line, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Mississippi and Florida. Florida's one of those teams I feel like I'm sleeping on a little bit in the NCAA tournament. I have some tickets picked out a little bit later on, 25-1s, 30-1s. And then, of course, you're looking at Auburn slash Duke up top. I just feel like the SEC is so tough that sometimes you bypass some teams. And I feel like I'm bypassing Florida. When I know a lot of people here at the Sports Grid Network are focusing on Florida, and probably rightfully so, I just feel like I've left them out just a little bit, which, again, got the whole week and to take a look at these games. Whole next week while the SEC Championship is playing, just to get a real feel on what we're looking at. And sometimes I say this. The teams that I like, I actually don't want to see them like win their conference tournament. I want to see them bow out early because that means I'm getting a better price point heading into March Madness. Maybe a little bit tougher path, yes, but price is always what you're trying to focus on. Now, let me look at the Kansas-Arizona game. Two teams I'm certainly not in love with. Lawrence, Kansas, we know the struggles for the Kansas Jayhawks. They've lost now what? Let's just see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 4 out of their past 6 games. They beat Oklahoma State and Colorado, 2 bad basketball teams. They lost to Utah, BYU, Texas Tech, and Houston. Now, granted, is that an easy path, Texas Tech and Houston? No, it's not. But also, Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks not used to losing double digits, which they've already lost 11 times this season. They're going to take on Arizona. And Arizona got a high-scoring victory over Arizona State. But before that, losing to Kansas State, losing to Houston, beating Baylor, solid win, losing to BYU by 1 point. Beating Utah, losing to Iowa State on the road. Then at home, as we just said, the Arizona State game was 113-100. Now they take on Kansas. Let me see here about some of the matchups. Offensively, Arizona is very good. Top 4 in conference play and efficiency. Kansas's defense is good as well. Top 3 in conference play. Also, their effective field goal percentage on defense for Kansas is number 1 in conference play. They don't turn the basketball over on defense all that much, which sometimes can be problematic because when you turn it over, it usually means easy points down on the opposite end. 3-point shooting here, Arizona, not all that impressed. With, I think there's 16 teams in the conference. They're 13th at volume, Arizona, on offense. 12th is Kansas defense here. So they're, I don't want to say stingy per se, but it's still a decent enough number, but they're not going to rely on it. Kansas really defends from the 3-point line. Kansas also defends extremely well inside wide. They got Hunter Dickinson, true big man there. You take a look at Arizona's offense point distribution, not really caring about the line. 15th in conference play, only 25% of their points coming from the 3-point line, which means they can be versatile. They get to the free throw line, but Kansas doesn't really foul. So this is an interesting matchup for me. And Kansas is at home. Is this one of those games also that you take a look at where it just means more for Kansas because they're trying to get right before the Big 12 tournament? Kansas's offense, however, not very good. Eighth in conference play in efficiency, sixth in effective field goal percentage. They turn the basketball over way too much. They don't shoot the three-point shot all that much, which is interesting. Point distribution, second in conference play, at 57% of their points coming from inside the three-point line. Not a great game. I thought I might have some advantages tomorrow in Arizona and Kansas. Doesn't look like that at this point right now. But there are great games tomorrow to match up with. A lot of high point totals to deal with. But also, people, just get invested in some of these lower-level conference tournaments. They won't disappoint. Handicap them and get back to me on Monday how you did over the weekend. That'll do it for today's show. I'll see you back next week. With Chris behind the wheels of steel, I'm Donnie Wrightson on another solo mission. Thanks for joining us right here on the Sports Grid Network.